Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarboard, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them?
I'm asking you.
Make that change, make that change, starting with that face in the mirror. Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in live on Tribe Family Channel. I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Beverly Black Johnson, and it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to bring to you Soulful Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. He is presenting a tribute to Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. This show is sponsored by myself, as well as Gumbo for the Soul International and Tribe Family Channel. We are brought to you by Bruce George Media and Geniuses Common, founded by Mr. Bruce George. He is the creator and co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. We are so honored and privileged to have also honored Michael Jackson in our 2010 publication of Gumbo for the Soul, Men of Honor, Special Cancer Awareness Edition, where we honored Mr. Michael Jackson as the man of the millennium for his role that he played worldwide in philanthropy. He has given more than we can count. So without further ado, let me bring to you the man of the hour, whose platform this is, the legendary last man standing of the Shy Lights. If you're sitting, get off yourself and welcome Mr. Marshall Thompson. What's happening, my brother?
What's going on to the world out there that's listening right now? This is a great show tonight for my good friend, almost the guy that I raised, Mr. Michael Jackson.
And that's what makes you the godfather of vocal groups, and we want to honor you. We had a marvelous time celebrating your birthday last Monday on the show. It was phenomenal, and we are excited that this show as well for Michael Jackson will be just as exciting and rewarding for our listeners. We want to remind everyone that you are tuned in to Tribe Family Channel. You can have your friends call in to this show at 347-539-5285 or follow us at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International brand family. Hey, hey, hey. So let's get this party underway because it is about Michael Joseph Jackson, whose sunrise was August 29th, 1958, his sunset June 25th, 2009. Wikipedia says Michael Jackson was an American singer, songwriter, record producer, dancer, and actor. Called the King of Pop, his contributions to music, dance, and fashion, along with his publicized personal life, made him a global figure in popular culture for over four decades. The eighth child of the Jackson family, Michael made his professional debut in 1964 with his elder brothers, Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, and Marlon, as a member of the Jackson Five. And Marshall, tell us about your first encounter with the Jackson Five.
Well, way back when they first started off, he was 8 years old. So you know how long that's been. He was 8 years old, and he had a record out, local record out then called Big Boy. I'm a big boy now. And his daddy and his friend, which is Luther Terry, was the manager. Luther Terry was managing that group. And so Luther Terry brought me in to be his partner. And that's how I got to meet Mr. Jackson. And, excuse me. And then I ended up going over to the house in Gary, Indiana, sitting down talking with Mr. Jackson about his kids. And he said, well, Marshall, what I want you to do what you can, take them around, let's get them started. So we went around to all the clubs all over Chicago, the Bonanza, Peyton Place, or Bill Street, things like that, going in there, letting them sing. We had to sneak him in there because he was too young. So we got in there, and they were throwing nickels and dimes on the floor for Michael, and we hurried up and got him out of there in the back. We took him out the back door. The police only gave us, I think, an hour for them to be in there, and they had to get on out of there. And then after that, I had a chance to take them to their first gig out of town, which was Houston, Texas. They were right by that Cinder Club. So I took them up there to do their first show out of town. And after they did that show, on their way back, Big Boy become number one in the Jet magazine. And they was on their way from there.
Absolutely amazing. History, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm sure you have never heard. And you said they were on their way from there. And so from there, where did they go? Because we remember them getting the Ed Sullivan show. So there's a period of time in between there.
Yeah, this is way before then. Brought them into the Wrigley Theater down to town on the south side of Chicago, Washington Park then. We brought them into the Wrigley Theater on the talent show. They came in and sung on the talent show downstairs, and me and Bobby Taylor of Vancouver, we were real close friends. And Bobby Taylor was from Motown. So Bobby said, "Who is that making all that noise downstairs, Marsh?" You know, I say, "That's the little group, the Jackson." He said, "Man, they got them girls screaming like crazy." So we went downstairs and introduced them to Bobby Taylor. And then Bobby Taylor said, "Marsh, I'm going to take them to Motown." So he took them to Motown, and then Donna Ross, he introduced them to Donna Ross to give them a break on the shows with her. And Barry Gordy took them, and let Donna Ross introduce them. But, I mean, she didn't discover them. We discovered them right here in Chicago at the Wrigley Theater.
And, ladies and gentlemen, might I remind you that you just heard that live on Tribe Family Channel. And never before had anyone told this story to us, and that's why we do what we do, because Marshall Thompson is the godfather of vocal groups. And we're going to continue down this memory chest of Legacy Lane. I want you to tell us what you love about I'll Be There, the song that we're going to play, and set it up for us, because, you know, it kind of fast forwards through a little period of time. And then we'll have you tell us about, you know, them embarking upon Ed Sullivan's show and what have you.
Well, I'll Be There is one of the Shotlight's favorite songs. We have we sung those songs after he had recorded it. But that was the first song that Michael was really singing. He was doing a lot of, you know, childhood skits like ABC, different songs like that. But he started realizing he can really get into singing when he did I'll Be There. He starts, you know, putting it on out. So Bruce Verdean, which was the engineer, was the Shotlight then the engineer first. You seen that on Unsung when he spoke about taking Michael Jackson and giving him the Shotlight tricks in the studio. So, but what he did is he brought him in the studio and created the sound that we used to use. We used to use the one where we used the 350 microphone. That was the trick for the Shotlight that we used. It gave us a surround sound. And so Bruce Verdean, he took that same microphone out of the studio in Chicago and went to Universal out there in L.A. and used that same microphone to build up their sound to be real strong. And what they did is, when they went in there and did it, it created a bigger sound for the Jackson 5, you know. And they went on from there. They started doing the Ed Sullivan show, the mainstream shows through Barry Gordy Jr. And they was headed on to the top.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hear I'll Be There right here, live on Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. Here we go.
I'll be there.
Became a dominant figure in popular music. His music videos, including those of Beat It, Billie Jean, and Thriller, from his 1982 album Thriller, are credited with breaking racial barriers and transforming the medium into an art form and promotional tool. The popularity of these videos helped bring the television channel MTV to fame. Jackson's 1987 album Bad spawned the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 number one singles. I Just Can't Stop Loving You, Bad, The Way You Make Me Feel, Man in the Mirror, and Dirty Diana, becoming the first album to have five number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100. He continued to innovate with videos such as Black or White and Scream throughout the 1990s and forged a reputation as a touring solo artist. Through stage and video performances, Jackson popularized a number of complicated dance techniques such as the robot and the moonwalk, to which he gave the name. His distinctive sound and style has influenced numerous artists of various music genres. Ladies and gentlemen, you are back live on Tri-Family Channel's Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson, honoring the king of pop, Michael Jackson, whose birthday is being celebrated all over the world today. We have a lineup of listeners, Marshall. We're going to hear from this weekend's festivities that Katherine Jackson annually holds in Gary, Indiana. We're so fortunate to have people on the line that are part of, or should I say, orchestrators of that event. And we can't wait. We're going to open the phone lines. I'm going to ask that you continue to bear with us as we get this slice of history from the godfather of vocal groups himself, Marshall Thompson. All right, my brothers, so we're picking back up where we left off. They went on to the Motown sound. The microphone that was actually used in the studio was taken to L.A., and then we get this more mature-sounding Michael and, you know, the effects. And I'll Be There, you can kind of hear that Motown edge. I was wondering if Smokey Robinson had any, is his thumbprint anywhere on I'll Be There?
Well, basically, Bruce Dean did the whole engineering. And he was like a side producer too, Bruce was. But Bruce was basically the engineer. He engineered all of our number one records, like Old Girl and Have You Seen Her. And he gave us three number one albums. But so Bruce was very, very, had a great ear for what he wanted. So he orchestrated that. Then they brought in Tom Washington. Tom Washington did arrangements to all our music here in Chicago. And he did the Off the Wall album for Michael Jackson. So he brought the sound from Chicago still, because by them being from this area, they still took that sound out there as well. And then when Motown changed it around, then they began to have the Motown sound. But it was basically the Chicago sound.
All right. Well, you know, Chi-Town is in the building because the lines are lit up, and we're going to open them up after we get some more of this historical, legendary information out of you, Mr. Marshall Thompson. And so Michael Jackson goes solo. He gets all this undergirding and mentoring from so many. We know he was heavily influenced by, you know, your undergirding and the Chicago family and all of what you just told us. And then we know that he is also, he was a huge fan of James Brown. So tell us
right,
what you know about that. And
well, again, he met James Brown, basically they had it in the movie that he did. He met him in New York, but he didn't. He met James Brown at the Wrigley Theater right here in Chicago. Okay, Keith Gordon, he's a guy that really started him off with the Big Boy song out of Gary, Indiana. And Keith did a great job with him doing the distributing them, taking them to Ernie Lena and different people like that. The Chess people was interested in the record that he had. But what happened is he was basically, when he got to Universal, that's where he really started to take off with Bruce Verdine. He moved Bruce out of Universal and brought him straight into his home down in Encino, where we used to stay at when I go to California. I used to stay out at Michael's and them house all the time, you know. But he brought him right in there, and he had a great sound of his own. And Michael really got into his own. He knew what to do. He knew what he was looking for. Bruce had to make it sound like what he wanted Michael to hear. Michael had the ear. See, and Bruce used his technology and Michael Jackson producing here, and they came up with those sounds.
Amazing. And, you know, we have Chi-Town in the building, so what we're going to do is we're going to hear another song from Mr. Michael Jackson, and then we're going to open up the phone line and bring in your partner in crime, Mr. Gus Redman, right after this.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like a...
Just run it.
know, we're going to keep it going because I ain't got enough. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are back live on Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson and his partner of creativity and crime, Gus Redmond, has just walked into the building. What's happening, Gus?
Man, everything's good. Everything's good. Let's go to work. Y'all ready to go to work? Where's my friend Marshall? Hi, Marshall.
How you doing there? Welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Man, you know I had to be here for you. Hey, hey,
right,
hey, Beverly, you know how he said, Marshall said something in regards to Michael. Do you know that me and Marshall learned a lot from me and I learned a lot from Marshall. Me and him came in to the business at the same time, Beverly, at the Regal Theaters where we first got introduced. But even before that, we were in the Drum and Bugle Corps. And Purvis Spann, the blues man who had took over the Regal, hired me to come in to deal with backstage and dealing with Michael Jackson's and the artists. And Marshall was a drummer, and he was working for Gladys Knight. And then the first artist was Major Lance. So before the Motown thing, we were already on the scene. Chicago is the birth city for Motown. The first song that came out with Motown was Smokey Robinson, The Miracles, that came out up under the distribution arm of Chess Records. And back here in Chicago, me and Marshall come off a street called Michigan Avenue that's called Record Row. And Record Row came about through a girl named Vivian Carter, that Donna Lynn, who's coming on, is the queen to Donna Lynn. So a lot of story here with Marshall, and that record, I'll Be There, tied next to my first record that I was part of called The Sly, Slick, and the Wicked. We stayed 4 weeks in a row, number one in Billboard, I'll Be There, and The Lost Generations, The Sly, Slick, and the Wicked. At that time, like Marshall said, these were the beginning records of Motown and Brunswick Records and Al Bell, Stack Records, Motown, artists like record companies like that were the records that was on the rise. The first record label being black-owned with the Beatles and Gene Chandler, Duke Earl, and Jerry Butler, and Curtis Mayfield, For Your Precious Love, all came off of VJ Records, where Donna Lynn can tell you a little history about that. But I just wanted to say I'm proud to be here with this music family, Beverly, and we thank you, me and Marshall, both for bringing our shows to your horizons and where we're going and what we're doing. We've been celebrating Michael all day. I have another show in Chicago I did on radio station WNUR today, number one pop radio station in Chicago. And we've been doing this the last couple of days. Lena, Donna, come on. And just wanted to say that and say happy birthday to Michael, the family. Me and Marshall have been quite close to the Jacksons for years, and we have a label that Marshall and Joe has, and I was working for them, and Moran's Records, and it's just a lot of good memories and a lot of good things, Beverly, that I'm quite sure everybody's going to be able to say.
Wow. And see, that's why I wanted you to get on right then, because when he started talking about the Regal Theater and this and that, you know, that resonates. And, you know, I just love the history that you all share. Like you say, you and Marshall go so far back. Marshall, I know those are fine memories when you think about just how long you and Gus have been tied into what you do that makes it, you know, so phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mr. Redman there, he goes so far back, he gave us our first show to make our first real dollar in Houston, Texas. You know, and but he took us out with Gene Chandler as his headliner, and we didn't have a name then, but we had a good act. We can dance, sing, you know, and do things like that. So Gus had a dream to take us all over the country and make this dream come true to everybody, and it did. Barbara Ackland, the Shy Life Young Old Trio, Tyrone Davis, and Jackie Wilson, all of us together went out there, and we made it happen.
And that dream,
wow,
and that dream
wow.
didn't just come from me, Beverly. That dream came from Carl Davis, Otis LaVelle, Gene Chandler, and, of course, Marshall, the Shy Lights, but it was a dream that we all had as amongst our family, that let's go take all these hot artists out around the country and do a tour with, because James Brown showed us that. James Brown took Shylights on the Road. He took Tyrone Davis. He took the Lost Generation. He took Gene Chandler. So the four hottest groups that I was with, James is the one who helped me get them out there in the world. Dick Clark was the other person, and Don Caneas was the other person. And then, of course, we had Flip Wilson. We had Sammy Davis Jr. Just like Marshall's song, Old Girl, went number one in 3 weeks' time, pop all across the country, because Carl told Marshall to go on the show and do the Old Girl. The Old Girl wasn't even finished yet. They hadn't even put all the background on it. But Marshall then went on the show and did that song, and that song became overnight success, one of the biggest records we ever had. And that was
Wow, that's amazing history, you know, and that's another show in itself when you think about, you know, our guy Flip Wilson there. He used to, you know, bring that funny bone, and it was very, that was a staple for us in the black community, you know, because during those times, of course, we didn't really see us on the air. And so I'm so honored also to have you all to utilize this platform along with myself and executive producer Mr. Bruce George, the creator and co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, who sponsors us with his Genius is Common movement. We know Michael Jackson was a true genius. Now, every year, his mother has been maintaining the ability to honor her son. We're going to bring on a woman so closely tied with coordinating that line of his legacy. You've mentioned her so many times before. So, Gus, why don't you go ahead and introduce Dinah Lynn for us? Her line is open. She's going to tune in, but she wants a fancy introduction. So go, Gus.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me give you the queen herself, Miss Dinah Lynn.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Everything is great. Great, great.
Hey, sister.
Hey, Beverly, thanks for having me be a part of this great conversation to honor a person that has just came into this world and taken it over through music and dance, Michael Jackson.
Well, it is an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to have you here. And you know we missed you last Monday. You know we had you in our thoughts, and we knew that you were, you know, in the trenches with this event over the weekend. So let us know. Well, let's pick up from your acquaintances as far as with Gus and Marshall and all of the Chicago family. Tell us a little bit about you and that blend, and then bring us up to current as to, you know, you and the involvement with the Jacks.
Wow, that's going to take you back a while. I've been a local radio personality for over 30 years in the Chicago, Indiana area. Back in the day, I used to be a street DJ, a scratch mixer in the club. Shylights used to come over to Gary, Indiana, and perform. Marshall would bring the tour bus to my house, and we would cook grits and eat and everything when they got snowed in doing shows over in Gary. And I had the pleasure of working under Vivian Carter of VJ Records. That's one of the first black record labels before Motown back in the 50s, and they kind of set the stage for, you know, finding acts, and she has the credit of the Beatles. They don't like to give it to her, but I learned so much from working as a young woman in radio through her, and her Kent actually had his first job in radio in Gary, Indiana at WWCA back in the day. So I've been around. I've worked with Gus through Carl Davis when he owned the station over in Gary, Indiana, and we just have maintained our friendships over the years because, you know, through music, you stay in the evolution if you're really in the business. So here I am today, program director of a station with over 30 sister stations and pilot stations. I got a show on Gangsterville Radio and broke over 100,000 listeners, keeping legends in the light, bringing old school and R&B music back. So there you have
All right, now I like that. keeping legends in the light. Don't play with me, okay? I like that. I like that. That's what we like to do over here is keep legends in the light. You know, I like that. That's all right. You know, congratulations to everything, all of your work and your history and the fact that, you know, you're still bringing it true, and we want to thank you. So now recap for us the weekend.
Man, the weekend was phenomenal. You know, my opening words when I hit the stage in Gary, Indiana this weekend is that people could have been anywhere in the world, but they were in Gary, Indiana with us playing a tribute to Michael Jackson. Katherine Jackson didn't have to come back to Indiana to do that. She deemed it a tribute instead of a birthday celebration because she wanted to pay a tribute to him and all the lives he touched. Through Michael Jackson, anybody thinks they can dance and sing. I mean, we've seen the blind, crippled, and crazy, the young, the handicapped. Everybody could be Michael Jackson through the music that he made because it was so universal. So to see his mom, 85-plus years, sitting there in the lawn at the football stadium where her kids went to high school, after all of these years and all, it was so much hard work. You just don't know the roadblocks that we had. But we pulled it off. And I was able to convince Tito to come. I broke his single on my show, Get It Baby. Tito's in his 60s. Never recorded a solo song before in his life. He's a very shy young man. And, you know, I told him, man, you got to come back to Indiana. And he did just that. And he turned it out. We had D-Cat Entertainment and Rich Kid Entertainment, these promoters. They brought a lot of acts from L.A. So the mix of Chicago and the West Coast, you know, I had Magnum Force from Chicago out there performing. I had some of Music Quest Entertainment acts out there. And I'm telling you, it was no problem. Everybody just rocked with Michael. It was awesome.
Well, that's awesome, awesome, awesome to hear. And you know what? We salute Mrs. Katherine Jackson. She has been keeping the legacy alive. We want to definitely embrace the entire Jackson family. We have the privilege, by the family's permission, to honor Michael Jackson as the man of the millennium in Gumbo for the Soul, Men of Honor Special Cancer Awareness Edition, because we always want to, like you, sisters, shed light on life. That's what Gumbo for the Soul Publications is all about, and that's our motto. And so that's what you did. You just continued to keep that light going. And, Gus, tell us about let's go back to Marshall first, and then I want Gus to tell us about Kiana, who performed out there. But, Marshall,
well,
Marshall. Because, Marshall, I know that you have been able to, from time to time, go and experience these events that Mrs. Jackson has been putting on. So give us your reflection about these events. We know you really, really wanted to make this one, but due to conflicting schedules and you've got concerts and tours lined up, you weren't able to make it. But tell us about the times that you were there, and then we'll hear from Gus.
Well, I did the first one that when Mr. Jackson had brought in. I did the first one with him then. And then Ms. Jackson had one herself. We had a private one out there with Mickey Rooney, and all of us was all together in L.A. We played that in L.A., and then we had Jermaine sing on that one with us. It was a Shy Light, Jermaine Jackson, and it was a lot of the movie star acts, you know, just came by just in the movie scene. You know, like Richard Roundtree was there from Cher and stuff like that. That was one of the big ones she had. And then the third time she had it, I went out there, just went into the house to sit down and just and talk, you know, talk to the family and things like that. This time, I couldn't make it this time, but I kept it on my phone with that FaceTime. I was watching just about everything was going on out there. And he had a wonderful time. Everybody had fun. No, it was a big thing, man. It hit me from the heart because, you know, I was there to the end. You know, I was there with Michael all the way to the end. I was at the funeral, up in the front at the funeral, and the everything was his final resting place. I was there. I went into the forest lane. I went all the way into the mausoleum when it went and looked at him pushed right into his resting place. I was right there with Janet Jackson and the whole family. We standing right there together, okay? And that broke me down in my heart, you know, because looking at a young man from 8 years old up until 50, to watch that, it was just really hard for me. But we had a great time at the fair after that, celebrating on the honor of Mr. Michael Jackson. We love. And also, I spoke at the burial. Okay, I spoke at the burial along with Gladys Knight. She was there speaking with us. And it was just an honor to do the things that I've done with Michael, the king of pop, you know. So I have a mouth full and a stomach full of everything, you know. And it's hard. It's hard for me, but I was there. And we can go on and on. Gus have a lot of things to say as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Gus, you just got the microphone passed over to you.
Well, I want to put it back to Donna Lynn. Donna Lynn is one of the three stations that I have that break records, meaning, you know, Chicago and this town has been known for doing what we do. Every artist from most of the artists that I've represented, the Dramatics and Stylistics and me and Eddie Thomas, go back and back. Records broke out of Chicago here from the radio station to Donna Lynn is with WLGH because me and Marshall's ex-boss used to own that radio station. So that was the station that broke our records back when we knew we had a hit. We knew it from our station. And then we always had VON and WKKC. So these stations are the three stations that I work with today, you know, with over 15 or better records on Donna Station, 20-some records on KKC. And we still do what we did back in the 60s. Now, I wanted Donna to tell you what she think about Kiana, because Kiana, one of the things Marsha told me one day, he said, man, what are we going to do when we get old? I said, I'm going to go represent me some young artists. I'm going to go represent artists that was like we were, because as we get older, we can't still get our records played, and we still getting our records played, but we give honor to the young people coming out of the marketplaces today. And Marshall saw Kiana and told me she was a hit artist, and then Donna was my next person, and then I'll let Donna tell you how Kiana is.
Kiana
is
a young...
You know, she performed at the Michael Jackson celebration, right, Donna Lynn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did, yeah. She came
tell
out to
how
me.
How that was.
She came out to me and represented for all the young teenagers. To me, she gave them hope. She's a straight-A student, 16 years old, very humble. She came out, and she rocked the stage. And when she got off the stage, all the young girls ran after her and she started signing autographs. That's what it's about. That's making these young girls feel like they have something they can identify with that's positive. I mean, her music was good, the beats was banging, and when I called Gus, I said she was thebomb.com.
Sure did. That was a new, that's the new name I got,
thebomb.com. Speaking of rocking the crowd and doing the thing, we're going to hear Rock With You right now.
All right. Let's do it.
Get into you. Don't try to fight it.
say, hey, it is a parquet. It's a tribute to Michael Jackson, the king of pop, live on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music Monday with Marshall Thompson. Marshall has some friends with us. We're talking with Mr. Gus Redman. We had Dinah Lynn, but she had to bounce out of the building right quick, so we're going to continue on with the show. Gus, Marshall, take us back to when Michael Jackson was influenced by James Brown. What was your take and perception on the knowledge and the dance moves and what that he extrapolated from James's style?
Well, Mike was really getting ready to kick in when he seen James. He picked up everything that James did, his personality on stage, his movements, and everything that he done to make the show happen. Even James used to stop the band in between the shows and rehearse them. He'll stop while the audience is in there. He'll shut the curtain and he'll say, okay, I want you to play this, I want you to play that, I want you to play this. Then he'll open the curtain up and go to the next song. So Mike learned a lot from that. You know, he learned a lot from those type of acts. You know, Jackie Wilson, he got the spin from Jackie Wilson. Jackie Wilson is a guy that can spin around like crazy. Do you think he's spinning a fork, a top or something? You know, so that's where Michael got his professionalism in. And that's what's missing today with the kids of today. They don't have real talent entertainers out there to show them to how it really happens. But if they go back and get some of those YouTube videos of those names, they'll be a perfect act itself because they can learn from that. They need to go back there and see what we was doing. Like back in the day, I was spinning around 30 times when I was real skinny and, you know, real small. And my performance, and Gene Chandler, Chuck Jackson, how those guys perform, Tommy Hunt, and these are stage guys. If you go there and pick that up from there, your career, I promise you, your career will go much further than it is today.
You know what, Marshall,
right,
though. Hey, Marshall, do you know that Kiana got them moves like that, Marshall?
She's going all the way, I think of that. Yes, she does.
Yeah, she does. She got the showmanship along with her singing.
Tell me your dissertation, Gus, and I know Kiana's performance had to be the bomb at the show, but reeling back to Michael Jackson, tell me what was your take and perception about his style as it relates to James Brown's style? Because, you know, James Brown being that godfather of soul, the king of it all, and to have the king of pop, you know, emulate him, what do you feel, most impressed Michael Jackson about James Brown, Gus?
Well, for who James was, like I said, James Brown is the one who taught me and Marshall things we know that he didn't teach other people, like the tour, like what I believe that it was necessary for us to take out a tour with Gene Chandler and Tyrone Davis, and man, every time we got to Beverly, we had, like Marshall said, that was our big paydays that we had in the first beginning of us making money, because we hadn't made money like that before. We were going into Coliseums now, and all of our company support, each artist had a million-seller record. Me and Marshall remember when Barbara Ackland would have to fly and do TV shows during the tour because she had Love Makes a Woman. Tyrone Davis had Can I Change My Mind. Gene Chandler had a big record. Everybody had a million-seller record, The Lost Generations. Every record we had on our label was gold. And that was unusual. That was because of guys like a Carl Davis, who me and Marshall learned everything we know, we learned it from that guy. He gave me and Marshall a chance to... Yeah, he gave us a chance to do things we wanted to do, like he did, you know, give us a chance to open up our horizon. And that's what me and Marshall loved about Carl Davis today.
That's why he took Michael, and Michael went down there and watched every move that James did. Every move that James Brown did, Mike wanted to learn it because he knew if he pick up from that man, he was on his way with his career, and he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, James Brown, I cannot wait because we're going to do his honors show, a tribute to Mr. James Brown, on Christmas Day. Yes, I said it, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to make sure that you're tuned in, we're going to definitely be bringing that show. That is the day that God called James Brown home, back to him. And, you know, James Brown gave us that song, Santa Claus Go Straight to the Ghetto. And so it's going to be played right here live on Tribe. So, you know, with the type of showmanship that James Brown gave to the world, with that smooth je ne sais quoi that he had about himself, I can see that evoked in Michael Jackson's music and his style when I listen to this.
Hey, I can see her. She's standing on your side by the bar.
I don't know, man. I got a bad feeling about this. I think we should just beat it.
Just stop worrying and just follow me.
Seriously,
I got this.
This girl is
Chris,
dangerous.
Man,
come on!
My life will never be the same. The girl you came and changed the way I want, the way I know. Cannot explain the things I feel for you, girl. You know it's true. Stay with me, I feel my dreams, and I'll be all you need.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, I wouldn't. No. Don't even bring them up. No. Yeah, just leave him up. Me and Marshall tell. I'll make sure he's taken care of after tonight. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and I'm gonna mention and mention Prince, because Prince was the other one that was, you know, a follower of James Brown too. Okay. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Michael Jackson. Now, my line has kind of, can you hear me, Gustin, Marshall?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure because, you know, we're on this digital technology. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for being tuned in live to Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. Sorry about that little audio glitch, but hey, we're going to get back at it. So, gentlemen, like we were discussing Mr. James Brown and this style, this class, the showmanship. You know, James could take it from one side of the stage to the other and spin around and splits and touch the ground and all of that. He had that style. He had that class that we see that so many people like Michael Jackson and like Gus, we were talking in the green room, you were going to bring up another artist, and I would like for you to do so at this time.
Yeah, well, that's Prince. Prince was the other one that watched James, and another example of a Michael Jackson who saw an artist and claimed to know that he wanted to brand himself like that. Is that right, Marshall? Prince was the other one, right?
That is correct. Prince.
But I'm gonna tell y'all somebody else. That was the dancing machine, and the main person in the Charlottes was Marshall Thompson as well. Marshall was like.
Come on,
James
now.
Could dance. He could dance like James at that time, too.
Come on now, and I've seen the videos, and I see the showmanship. But you know what's so smooth about Marsha Thompson? The godfather of vocal groups still got it, okay? Do you see how it's been clean and smooth in these hats? I'm going to have to get one of them hats, Marsha. I want one of your hats.
Hey, Beverly.
Hmm.
Answer where he got that from.
let me see if I can guess. Let me guess. Now, I know Smokey Robinson told him to go back and come back with something. Gorgeous George.
Yeah, Gorgeous was one. Gorgeous been with him a long time ago. Another guy we had a house with, but his main guy who keep him looking and always like that was myself, because I was
a gangster.
And we dressed that way. That's the way me and Marsha always dressed, with hats and suits and stuff like that. So we were always the cleanest guys you would see was from Chicago, because we all wore hats.
Let me ask you this. So with Spike Lee's movie with him and Denzel, and you know, the zoot suits and the hats and the, you know, the rides and all that.
And that ain't got nothing
true
about no Chicago. That was a movie that was done with a lot of comic in it. That ain't nothing about no Chicago. We didn't wear no hats and no kind of stuff like that back here in Chicago. Am I right, Marshall?
He tried to have the clothes that we wear. That's all they did.
Right.
But a lot of that stuff wasn't no true Chicago scenes in there. You know, if he had really been down into Chicago and got some of the guys like Sam Chapman's guys, he's a DJ here in Chicago, he had brought in those guys and the guys back at the Peps days on 47 in St. Lawrence, back then in those days, then he really would have had the real Chicago-looking scene. Well, Cab Calloway, when he was back here with Red Fox.
Come on now.
We had the clothes, you know, back here. Even you had Quincy Jones came out of DuSable High School, where I went to school, before he went out to California, you know. But we had the guys already here in Chicago. We had, you know, Larry Hampton, those guys. And but he did, I guess he did what he could do. But if he really had a dig into that scene, he should have went and got or the record roll. He should have went over there and tried to pick out the guys from record roll and start where the steppers are. A lot of the steppers was in high school with me. They was back in the DuSable High School and High Park High School with me in Inglewood. So he really, really, really put that movie over in a real style. But he went up to, I guess, what they're doing today. You know, it wasn't a real true Chicago style of thing, Chirac and all that. It could have been a great movie if he had really jumped into it, but I guess his time wouldn't allow him to do that.
And you know, we had a key song in that.
And keep it relevant, you know, with, like Gus was saying, you know, that's how y'all dressed and how y'all kept it sharp and relevant. So I'm still glad that you're bringing the true, authentic, you know, style to today's time. And before we wrap up this show, I want to give both of you the opportunity to, you know, expound in any area in which you would like to shout out, you know, the shout outs that you'd like to shout out. And I want to invite our listeners to be sure to connect with at Tribe Family US via Twitter. Follow this show page at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Make sure you hit up Marshall Thompson at chi-lites.info. That's the chi-lites.info. Thus is at musicqe.com. You know what? And I'm Beverly, the creator at Gumbo for the Soul on Twitter. I am the sole proprietor of this house, okay? So you can hit me up, and everyone has a story to tell. Gumbo for the Soul Publications is willing to tell it, as well as Tribe Family Channel. Gentlemen, we're going to close this with another song from Michael Jackson, and we want this to be our message to the world. So before we do, do you have any final words?
Well, like I always say, what you put in is what you get out. Just keep putting it in, and you'll keep getting it out.
And I'd like to say before we leave, one more time to the whole family of the world, Michael Jackson's fans, we want everybody to give him a blessed happy birthday. He's right there resting in peace in the kingdom of heaven, looking down, smiling at this radio station, and smiling at his party and Jerry, the weekend that they had, and showing his love, and everybody come out to show their love for him.
Well, all right. Well, I certainly want to thank all of our listeners, Marshall Thompson, the godfather of vocal groups, and the host of this platform, Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. I want to thank you for this tribute to Michael Jackson. Gus,
thank you.
Marshall's partner in crime and creativity, I want to thank you, as always, for your presence. We're going to go out with Happy Birthday by the Shy Lights, because you know it is befitting to wish Mr. Michael Jackson a happy birthday reigning from paradise. And then we're going to hear a last song from the King of Pop. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned in to Soul Food Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. I'm Beverly Black, the creator of Tribe Family Channel. Have a blessed one. Peace.
Happy birthday, yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
I'm bored.
I want to be entertained. Can my pharaoh find some way to entertain his queen? Welcome to the Lions.
Okay. Presenting Pyro.
And what is it you're going to do?